Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
We have been talking for 30 minutes.
Yes, we have.
We just didn't hit record. Secret conversation.
Secrets.
Well, I kind of just did the how are yous off camera. I know, yeah. How are you? Real truncated. These people don't need to know us. They don't even care. Just kidding. We love you. We're not drunk this time.
No, we are not drunk. I'm actually totally sober.
I can't drink on my muscle relaxers.
Woo! I'm high. You know, normal stuff.
Yeah. Normal.
normal stuff. Yeah, we just did our high. How are you? So, here, I'll just give a recommendation at the top. I've been watching a really great show on Netflix called One Strange Rock. It's hosted by Will Smith, weirdly, but it's Darren Aronofsky directed it.
Weird.
And it's about 8 astronauts who have spent a cumulative time of 1,000 days in space. And they talk about their favorite parts of the planet looking down from space.
Huh.
And so they go to these like...
So it's like a docuseries?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's, I think, 8 or 10 parts. It's really fucking good. And they talk about a theme. So they talk to all of the astronauts or most of them in each episode. They're each about 47 minutes long. And Will Smith like introduces a concept like you play outside and don't think about like our air exists. And then they talk about from the core out how the planet was built and what that looks like from space. It is so fascinating. There is shit on Earth. I watch so much stuff about the planet because I think it's fascinating and I fucking love space and I love looking down on the planet.
Right.
And there were things that I was like, what the fuck is that? There's like lava lakes that exist just all over the place.
And lava lake.
And like, here's a bunch of acid sitting on top of a bunch of weird spongy coral. Did you know that existed? I did not. And it's like green and glows from space. It's fucking crazy. It was so good. One of them is about water and how water is created and like how sand drifts over continents, over the ocean to fill the rainforest. And then the whole episode leads up to the sand is created from dead life that's like thousands of years, millions of years old, that's like sunk to the bottom of seabeds and then become dust that rises off into the rainforest. And it like talks about how the planet does that. It's so fucking good.
Ah, you're so
it's
funny.
So good. So I highly recommend that. That's what I've been watching. That's been my like come down. Like, I just want to feel good at the end of the day.
Fun employment.
Yes, the end of my fun employment. I've been cleaning and recondoing my house for days. 3 days in a row, that's all I did for like 13 hours at a time.
Probably nice to do it without Michael.
Yes, it is. It's nice because like we're done with the the discarding and now it's all organizing. And so that is like we really need to do it alone in our own spaces and be done with it. I've hung up so much art. I had like...
You had so much to hang up. And you already had so much on your walls.
Yeah. I hung up our dolly. It's now like on my wall on the side of our room. I love it so much. We have to get it appraised so we can get insurance for it.
Yeah.
It's just been sitting on our floor for like 2 years. So now we're like, we should get that. Now that we like can afford insurance, we should get insurance on that.
Renter's insurance also is not that expensive.
We have renter's insurance, but because it's a high dollar item, you have to get it individually insured.
How do you have this?
Well, okay, so Michael's grandmother was...
She's an art thief.
I fucking wish. I hope so. She led a life that if we found out she was an art thief, I would be 0% surprised, actually. She had, like, a house in the Caymans and, like, a bunch of weird offshore bank accounts. Like,
nice.
She was probably into some kind of espionage, whether it's financial or art. I don't know. She's the one in the fur coat on our wall. She had a huge art collection. And when she died, her daughter, Michael's Aunt Linda, got a bunch of it. And she hung up these pieces and then was like, I don't really like these. I don't remember what Linda does. She's some kind of consultant. And so she has like a fancy office. And so she hung up a bunch of these pieces and then brought them over to our house and was like, here, you guys can have these. I know you guys like art. And Michael's like, okay, well, thanks. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, these are certified prints. And I turn it over and I was like, this is a dolly that's signed and is a certified print. She was like, oh, I guess I didn't realize that they were real. I just thought they were fake. And I was like, no, these are real. So we have to get them insured now. But it was really exciting to be like, oh, we have like a real piece of art. And, but for then 2 years, it literally sat on our floor because our apartment was so messy. Now it is not.
I'm excited to go to your house and see what it's like.
It's almost done. We have to get like we have like a space for like a reading chair now in our living room. Yeah. We have to like take some stuff from storage and donate some more. We've gotten rid of like 35 bags of shit.
Damn.
I'm actually reading the Marie Kondo book. Michael forced me to read it because he was like, you're having panic attacks about cleaning. Maybe you should read this. And like, now you know why we're doing it. I was like, maybe I should have read this first before we started this.
Yes, correct.
But like, she describes in the book, which I didn't realize, and they don't really talk about on the TV show, that the average time to do this process is about 6 months. And I was like, I wish I would have known that in advance, because it was weird to be like, I feel like this is taking forever. And then to read her book and be like, we're going way faster than most people do. And like, it made me feel way less anxious about it. And it was, it's now a process that we're like, how do we convince my mom to do this? Because my mom needs it really bad.
Well, you already know you'll never convince me to do it.
I mean, I might convince you to do, like, some parts of it.
Oh, do you mean those clean clothes that are not? Look, they're already in a pile.
I'll teach you how to Marie Kondo fold. I don't really like to fold, and it's... I like the way that the drawer looks, because it's accessible, but it's like,
yeah.
I hate doing this.
Yeah.
How are you? Your back obviously hurts a lot. You were making a lot of weird faces while I was talking.
Yeah, I have to move around, because sitting really hurts. Something is, like, very wrong with my back. I think it's a sciatica. Because these muscle relaxers are not working. I do have an appointment on Monday to go to like a real doctor, but it just came out of nowhere. I didn't even do anything. And it was just like, you turn 30 and then your back just becomes debilitating. Like the way that I was describing it to Nick, it's like a 15-year-old got cast in her high school play and was supposed to play the old lady. And since she was like hunched over and like walking really slow and like a caricature of like an older person walking. And I was like, that's just how I'm walking now. Because like Nick had to like literally tie my shoes the other day. Like it is painful. For no reason.
That blows.
It does blow, but whatever. His quarter's almost done. Mm-hmm. And then I got my teaching assistantship coming up.
All right.
The wedding is like 49 days away.
God, that's so close.
All happening.
Yes, it is.
My grandma's in town. She's going to watch Fastlane with me tomorrow.
All right.
Heck yeah, grandma. Let's see if I can convince her to do a Patreon mini pod.
Yes.
The last time we took grandma to wrestling, I was like, what's your favorite match? She goes, I don't know, it was fun. That's like all she said. So
that's true.
I don't know if it would be like that interesting of a podcast.
I don't know. She and I talked about when we were there too, about how she was like, I don't really know what's going on, but like I get my cues from what you guys are doing and then I can like understand what's going on. So I feel like that might be interesting to talk about too.
We'll see if I can convince her.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Fastlane. Do we have any news? Oh, this is something we've been...
we've forgotten like 3 weeks in a row to talk about.
Literally, we'll wrap up recording and be like, damn it. We didn't talk about China going into the Hall of Fame.
No, we did not. We should really talk about that.
We really should talk about that.
So it's not China who's going in. It's DX who's going in.
But she is being acknowledged. Like if you go on WWE's website right now, because I went there for like Fastlane card or whatever, like there's a big feature story about like China on it. So like she's being brought back into the lexicon of WWE official WWE lexicon. But this is like such a sneaky way to get her in and make people happy, but also be like, yeah, we did it. Leave us alone.
Yeah, exactly. Shawn Michaels is already in the Hall of Fame.
Probably. I don't know. I don't watch the Hall of Fame because it is a waste of time.
I
might watch it this year just for the China stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I'm at least going to watch that. Because if he is, then now he and Ric Flair are the only two people to be in it twice.
I think he's got to be, right?
I feel like he's got to be too. Here, I'll just look it up. If he's not, I feel like that's almost better because then they're all going in for the first time as DX together. But I'm pretty sure that he is.
It's like a double-edged sword. It's like, sneaky. But also, like, they are doing it. And again, they're putting, like, featured stories up. And, like, it is a really, really big deal that she's, like, finally being, like, acknowledged as, like, an important part of their history.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels is in it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It also, like, I saw someone make a point. I don't remember who this was. Sorry. That eventually what they could do if this is well-received and they don't get the, like, weird backlash that they, for some reason, have said that they're always going to get, that she could be the first woman to be inducted twice and be posthumously inducted as a solo performer later for her stuff outside of TX, which is smart. Like, that is, like, if they actually followed through on that, that is a really smart way to give her a legacy that they've denied her up until this point. Yeah. And this is a good way to, like, test the waters for that. But also, like, I wish they would have just pulled the trigger and put her in the fucking Hall of Fame. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But at least she's going in. And also, like, I think it's good that DX is going in. Like, it should be acknowledged that they are past. That it is the past. And we're looking back on it fondly. It doesn't need to exist today. Like, I like that the Hall of Fame signals that someone is retired. Like, that's good.
Yeah, hopefully they remain retired.
I mean, Triple H will never actually retire.
Well, yeah, he's gonna wrestle Batista.
But you know what? Again, I prefer when Triple H wrestles specialty people like that because yeah. then they're not taking a roster spot. They're not, spot.
Like, burying. Except for there are rumors that WrestleMania is going to have 16 matches. Which makes me want to die.
This is like WrestleMania, what was it, 2, 3 that had like oh my God. Billion matches in a row.
That makes me want to die. Oh, just thinking about it.
I mean, it's already like a 6-hour show.
It's an all-day event.
Oh, woof.
Yeah, also, I just want to say everybody's like giving WWE shit for putting Tori in. But like, what are you going to do? Their history are these type of women. And I think there's something to be celebrated for the fact that certain women in the Divas era did try and do stuff and yeah. did try and wrestle and sometimes did wrestle really well and pulled it out. And like, I think it's important to celebrate the fact that they were treated really poorly, made to do really dumb shit, and they still stayed and they still persevered and they mm-hmm. still, like, they're a really important part of this, like, quote unquote evolution. And so, like, absolutely these people should go into the Hall of Fame. And if you don't think so, you're a dick.
Also, like, I'm going to make a comparison that's going to make some people mad, but I kind of don't give a fuck. Like, fuck off.
It's just leave us a 2-star review.
The most hilarious review. Why 2 stars? Like, my idea is that he was like, well, I think that they're elitist chicks, but their audio quality is fine. So 2 stars. It's sort of like there are people in the Hall of Fame in baseball who, if they played today, would be garbage. And you know who one of those people is? Babe Ruth. He's fucking garbage compared to today's standards. He's not good. He smoked cigars while he played. He was a big fat dude. Like, he can't compete against Mark McGwire. Like, it's
to be
just
fair, lots of baseball players are big fat dudes.
Well, absolutely. And like, you can't compete against dudes who are like fucking Justin Verlander, who are tall and full of muscle and can play for like an entire goddamn decade somehow. Like, I understand that he's a pitcher and not a hitter. It's different. Whatever.
Whatever
baseball. But like, that's how I feel about Tori Wilson, where, yeah, if you put her against the people today, of course she looks like garbage because the standards have changed so much, but they wouldn't have changed if she didn't exist to drive things in that direction. So yeah. I think you're absolutely right. Like, if you don't acknowledge that that stuff existed, then that shit happens over and over. And part of what I think is good about these women being initiated is that they get to give an acceptance speech, which is kind of like a testimonial. They get to talk about, like, it was hard. They took my matches away. They told me not to punch people. Like, that's how we find
they
some of this shit out.
They told me to stick my ass into the camera.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is how you find some of that stuff out. And it's like, you only hear that from people who were good despite the way that the system treated them. I think that Tori's a really great example of that. And she's alive. Like, I think it's good that they're inducting women who can be up there and talk about themselves. I think that's really, really important.
Agreed.
Sorry, other thing I keep forgetting to mention, Jordynne Grace got a great cut in color and her hair looks super good now.
Whatever.
This happened around the same time as Chyna getting inducted and I've just also forgotten to mention it. I think it looks fucking great. And like, we'll talk shit and throw shade sometimes and I would like to say that now I really like it. I think it looks really good and I'm like, all right, I'm in now. Looks are important. We talk about it all the time. I think it's a really good change on her part.
Agreed. What wrestling merch are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Impact wrestling shirt because I miss Impact.
I do too. I actually have been thinking about that also because I was stalking Scarlett's Instagram because I'm obsessed, obviously. Whatever, leave me alone.
You did send me that photo before I got dressed, so perhaps that's why I was like, yes. Impact!
Like I said, my quarter's ending soon, and part of me wants to go back and watch all the stuff that I've missed, but, like, kind of fast-forward through the shit that I don't like, and then just watch, like, the women's matches and, like, Eddie Edwards, which is the things that I like, and catch up, because I, even though it's harder to watch Impact, like, I feel like I want to I do want to make the effort because, again, I miss it too. Mm-hmm. Really like it.
I know. And we had so much fun at homecoming and then it was just like, well, that's the last time I'll ever watch this.
Womp.
Womp. Womp.
I'm not wearing any wrestling merch because I'm still in my pajamas, but I made my grandma coffee this morning because she's visiting and I gave her a Happy Rusev Day mug.
Nice.
So that's the wrestling merch that I'm repping right now.
Hey, Rusev, remember him?
Yeah, well, he's in the kickoff show, oh, which we're going to talk about okay right now. Yay. Fastlane. Chow. I don't know. That was a weird noise.
Zoom?
I don't know. My back hurts a lot and I'm on a bunch of muscle relaxers. Okay. Just give me a fucking break.
Fair enough.
Okay, let's do the thing that we do where we talk about the Fastlane card and then just kind of weave in what happened on SmackDown and Raw.
Okay.
I'm also like painfully behind in NXT. I'm like 3 episodes behind in NXT. It's just, you know.
Oh, also.
Oh, Ciampa.
Ciampa.
Gotta talk about that.
Yeah. He had neck surgery like yesterday.
Some people just can't catch a fucking break.
No, they fucking cannot.
But the rumor is that they did kind of know about this, so they have, and because he is like red hot gold mm-hmm for them, I think that the rumor is that they have a plan on how to bring him back in. Like, they have long-term planning.
That's which shocking.
Seems not real because it's WWE, but like also, I want to believe, so.
I want to believe, too.
I want to believe.
They also, like, it is weird to see WWE say, like, he's going to be out for a long, long time. Like, what does that mean?
I mean, it means at least a year.
Ugh, that blows.
But, I mean, we know if anybody can come back from a career-ending injury, it is Ciampa.
That's true. He did already do that once. Because Ciampa just
comes back and, like, is like, hey, I'm here. I'm ready to fuck shit up. And, like, that that's is his true character. So, if... So, I mean, they could that's do true it again. And honestly, like, not that WWE has, like, a good track record of taking storylines that worked in NXT and using them on the main roster. They obviously always fail at that. But this could be an exception because he could, you know, because theoretically, Johnny will probably come up
within
the year that Ciampa's right out. So
especially
they could,
if he doesn't have Ciampa in NXT with him, it makes sense right to move him up.
So they could literally redo this on the main roster and just have Ciampa come out and be like, yeah, I'm back, ho.
Yeah, true. You're right. Absolutely. They just have built-in storylines for that. And also, like...
Because that's, can, like, a Fight Forever.
Yeah, that, you know, that is the their next generation Fight Forever. Yeah. And also, like, they'll trust Johnny to protect Ciampa in a Johnny way that, like, maybe they wouldn't with literally anyone else. It's so sad.
Well, at least he'll get paid for recovery.
That's absolutely right. And they'll pay for it because it's their fucking problem.
Yeah. All right, Fastlane, kickoff show, The New Day, Big E and Xavier Woods versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev. The best part about this is that Xavier quote tweeted this announcement on WWE's Twitter and said, glad I logged on to Twitter today or else I wouldn't know that I had a match this Sunday.
Oh!
Ice cold.
Wow. Wow. Kickoff show, people, they want to not sign contracts again? Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. I think... It makes sense to me that, so they're doing the storyline with Kevin Owens, like, stealing Kofi Kingston's spot, blah, blah, blah. So then, like, putting New Day on the pre-show and not putting Kofi Kingston in it, like, actually weirdly adds to the other storyline because it feels like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
So, like, that adds fuel to the fire of this, like, Kofi Kingston mania mm-hmm thing. Especially if Kofi Kingston just on the outside being like, I was supposed to be in the main event of this show.
Right.
I think... That is actually weirdly clever storytelling for a kickoff match.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know
true
what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm not actually like super opposed to this one. That I think it'll sense be fun. All four. I like all four of those wrestlers.
Yeah, that's true. It'll also be a great match.
Yeah, also like, we could have some interesting moments with Lana and Kofi outside the ring, like where maybe Lana tries to get in Kofi's face and Kofi's like, I don't want to be here. I don't have the energy to deal with your bullshit.
Yeah, true.
Which is, I feel like, the energy that you have to give Lana.
That's true.
I don't have the energy for you. Please walk away.
Effective. Actually, I think that's a good observation too, because it does make it it makes people want to watch the pre-show.
Yeah.
Because no one ever wants to watch the pre-show. And it's smart to put someone like Kofi onto the pre-show in a non-wrestling capacity.
For sure.
Good observation.
Thanks. It's like I watched this.
Yeah, true.
I mean, people on our... maybe people who are in our reviews don't think that we watch. And Aaron might not watch, but I watch. another kickoff match, Rey Mysterio versus Andrade.
Why are these on the kickoff?
Well, it's like Andrade and Rey have been fighting on and off for a couple months, and like they both have good chemistry in the ring, and they've put on some of the best matches on SmackDown in the past couple months. So like it makes sense. Like they clearly like Andrade, even if they're not like super pushing him. Like he's been on SmackDown a bunch and has been used. Rey Mysterio must have come back for a fucking reason. It's not like they're not going to use him at WrestleMania in some capacity. So like, if WrestleMania is the next step, like, you have to use Rey Mysterio somehow.
Yeah.
So better the kickoff show than nothing, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
So, that's true. I mean, Rey Mysterio's got to go over. Also, Rey Mysterio has lost he lost 2 weeks in a row because R-Truth rolled him up. And then he lost because Joe got the United States Championship and it was like a four-way or whatever.
I wonder maybe if... this one, too, there isn't a winner if it ends dirty, and then the follow-up is that they're at Mania.
Yeah, that could totally work. Because, like, I mean, Zelina's
always there.
Well,
so.
Yeah, and on SmackDown this week, she did get physically involved, and she did the Rana outside the ring. I think it was to R-Truth, but she did get involved like she did physically in NXT, so, like, maybe that happens again. Also, Rey Mysterio and Zelina are the same size.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I, like, really want to watch her 619 Rey in the face, and I feel like because of her size, she could do it.
Speaking of which, I don't really like the 619. I think the setup is really obvious, and it's boring, and I don't have nostalgia for it. Mm-hmm. But there was a great 619 on SmackDown because Joe had Andrade in, you know, some kind of, like, submission clutch on the ropes, and then out of nowhere, and the camera angle was perfect because you didn't see Rey coming, so it really just looked like Joe and Andrade were wrestling, and then Rey just came around 619 them both, and like that is an effective way to use that move.
That's
can't
the best
be this
way to use it.
Stupid setup of like I'm on the ropes just waiting to get kicked in the face. It's so stupid. But that one was a surprise. It's like, you know, we hate Randy Orton, but sometimes, and most of the time, the RKO is very obvious and stupid, but sometimes there is an RKO that's actually out of nowhere, and it's like, yeah, this is a dope move.
Right, exactly. 100%.
The Revival versus Gable and Rude versus Aleister Black and Ricochet, who are undefeated on the main roster. They literally beat the Revival.
Why are they a tag team? Is this just like, we don't know what to do with these dudes? Stick them in a tag team?
Well, I think what happened is Black, Ricochet, and DIY all kind of got pseudo-called up. And I think the idea was that this was going to be DIY slot.
Oh.
But they couldn't, obviously, because Ciampa's neck thing was quicker than they thought. So then they were like, fuck, I don't know, Black and Ricochet together. Because, like, I don't love Black and Ricochet together because they're really good singles wrestlers.
Yeah.
And Aleister Black is one of my favorite wrestlers, and I don't really love him in a tag team. And also, they're, you know, we talk about sometimes that you put random people together and it can be really fun and great, and this is, like, not fun and great for me.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, they've been dominant, but I think they've been dominant, but this is a way, and they rolled up Revival, but this is a way that, like, they could do Revival Redemption. Like, these guys have been undefeated for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then you have Revival pin Gable and Rude. And so, like, technically Black and Ricochet are saved.
Right.
But they still
unpinned,
lose.
Unpinned, unsubmitted.
Right.
Yeah.
And Revival cannot look like a fucking sideshow joke.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And...
but also Black and Ricochet might just win.
I get, like, cool, I get, I don't know, I want the Revival to keep it, but at the same time, like you said, I like both of these guys.
As singles wrestlers.
I thought the plan was for Ricochet to go against Finn at Mania 2, which is a way better match than him being in, like, a weird tag match at Mania that no one will give a shit about.
Right,
like,
and that's 100% on the pre-show.
Yeah, absolutely, and I feel like...
on the 16 match, were there, like, 5 pre-show matches?
Oh, also, that sets up a good way for, if Ricochet technically already has a loss and then faces Finn and loses to the Demon, like, it makes more sense, too, that, like, it wasn't just this that killed that streak. Also, that would be a really fucking good match.
Yeah. And also, like, oh God, Black can face anybody.
Literally anybody. What's Drew doing right now?
We'll get to it.
Uh-oh.
Annoyed. Oh, speaking of tag teams, there is a rumor that the club was offered Mundo money to stay, and they were like, you can take your money and shove it up your asshole. We're done.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We came here for the money, we got the money, and now we're done. Our friends are starting a company. Goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Also, like, who can fucking blame them? First of all, tag team wrestling is not respected. Like, they're not the best wrestlers in the world. They're a great fucking tag team. And they should
have
been...
Right, which is a different skill, which is also part of the reason I don't like Black and Ricochet. It's because, like, they're solid-ass singles wrestlers. We don't need this random-ass tag team because tag team wrestling is a different skill.
And also... two of the three tag teams in this match are thrown together, not actual tag teams. That's part of why I want Revival to keep it, because they're a fucking tag team. Like, yeah. I understand that maybe Rude and Gable will turn into something like the Bar.
And they are, like, on their way to doing that, and I don't hate them together, but I do hate Black and Ricochet together.
Yeah, I'm not into that at all. I think that's a really weird, weird move. Ugh. And also, like... they put the club with both Finn and AJ and somehow still didn't let them be good.
Be heels.
It's so fucking weird.
Because even when they were heels, they were like jokey wearing doctor's uniforms heels.
Yeah, like they were comedy wrestlers. And if you're going to be comedy wrestlers, like that's a difference. It's, they're good comedy wrestlers. It's not bad. It's just that for some reason, WWE is like, if you're a tag team and you're a comedy wrestler, fucking goodbye forever. Goodbye even if people forever. Love you. Like, it's so frustrating. Part of me's like, I want Fashion Police to come back. And another part of me's like, get Tyler Breeze the fuck out of this company.
You know, at Cage Side, I think this was part of a writer's room that Brent does. Somebody mentioned, like, what are they going to do with the NXT Championship? And I think Kyle maybe said, fucking just put it, like, have Tyler Breeze come back and put it on Tyler Breeze. Like, Full Sail and the NXT crowd wouldn't be mad.
They would lose their shit.
And it would be fun. And then I want to see Tyler Breeze have a program with Adam Cole. Like, that's dope.
Yeah, that's true. It's so weird that people view going back to NXT as, like, a demotion. And, like, I guess it sort of is. But, like, why not take a demotion?
But it doesn't have to be. What Sasha and Bayley are doing is not a demotion. It doesn't have to be a demotion.
That's true.
And also, like, do you want a demotion where you get to have fun?
Yeah,
because sometimes a demotion is not a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, it might even... some of those people probably never got pay raises when they went up. I know a lot of women don't get pay raises when they go up.
It's ridiculous that, like, Sasha and Bayley and Becky and Charlotte do so much for that company and get paid shit.
Yeah, it's fucking disgusting.
The Usos versus McMahon and Miz. The Usos are the champions. But, like, you know, again, the Usos are an actual tag team. The Usos cut a hell of a fucking promo. Damn, I love the Usos.
So the Usos did the same thing that the Revival did, where they were like, fuck you guys, we're out, we're not going to sign contracts. And they were like, take the belt. Wait, don't leave. Take the belts, please. That's kind of what it feels.
Yes.
Okay.
But also, the Usos are fucking great with the belts.
Well, I agree with that, but they were also
and
like,
they cut such
we want to get out of here.
Fucking good promos. I mean, I think the Miz McMahon, they lose, and then McMahon finally turns heel on Miz.
I fucking hope so. That's what they need. Like,
just like a great socioeconomic, like, underdog story, a billionaire beating up a millionaire. It's like what we need. It's what we need.
It's the storylines that I connect to.
Mm-hmm.
That is my demographic.
Correct. We are all just a bootstrap pull away from being a millionaire.
American dream.
Whatever, this match is stupid. I don't want to talk about this. Like, my daddy doesn't love me. And the Usos were like, literally, like, fuck you? I don't know. Who cares about your dad? We are here to do our job, you idiots.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Asuka versus Mandy Rose.
I mean, Asuka has to retain, right? Like,
I guess. I don't know. Mandy Rose rolled her ass up the other week. So, like, I mean, I assume Asuka retains.
But that's usually, like, the back and forth of the 50-50 booking of, like, well, Mandy Rose rolled her up, so that makes it a competition. And then she's like, no, never mind. You got ass in the face.
Normally, I don't advocate for a 30-second match for the women. But
so I was just gonna say, legit have her just hip check her in the face and that match is over. It's like when Shinsuke Kinshasa Jeff Hardy after he hit him in the balls, where it was like literally like an 8 second match. That was amazing because it felt very like redemptive in a way that was necessary.
Well,
because
here's the thing. Everybody was like, oh, Asuka tapped out Becky. This is like the beginning of her redemption tour, exactly. Blah, blah, blah. And then they kept her off TV and then they brought her back and Mandy rolled her ass up and it is a joke.
Yeah.
So if you really need to start this redemption tour, she needs to fucking 1, 2, 3 immediately.
Yeah.
And I know some people are going to be like, no, 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 we got to build the SmackDown women's roster, blah, 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 which is all true. But you don't need to do that at the expense of your champion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do that in a different way.
And also,
oh,
like,
my God.
The women's division has been built up and built up and built up by Charlotte and Becky, who were then whoop, plucked right out of that division and moved
are
to Raw.
Are they on SmackDown anymore? No. I mean, they show up, but like, They're on the Raw roster now. That's what it feels like. Especially if and when one of them wins.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to move to Raw.
Yeah, they're already on Raw. They're just like lightly floating. They're like for sure on Raw now though. And so I feel like this is, if you want, again, like you said, the redemptive tour, like this is the right way to jumpstart that. Like the division doesn't just have to be Mandy coming after Asuka. Like they have to find other women to put into that. And because we're going into WrestleMania season, it feels like we're about to get call-ups anyway to refill this division in particular.
Is this going to be Lacey versus Asuka?
Oh my God, no! Yes, almost certainly. Who the fuck else is it going to be? Nikki? I fucking wish. If they wanted to have a
I mean, they
baller,
should have Nikki.
Yeah,
but
if you want a fucking baller-ass women's
SmackDown
match.
You're bringing up Aleister Black and Rick Shane being like, just push him to the moon. Why are we not just pushing Nikki Cross to the moon?
I don't know.
Why do we just have Lacey Evans just walking around? There was a moment where Natty could have punched Lacey in the face, and she really should have, because like Natty was walking out and then Lacey's music hit and Natty looked at her like, bitch, what are you doing? Like, Natty, I know you're a baby face, but like, I feel like you could have punched her in the face and everybody would have cheered.
She's a heel too. You totally could have done that. Oh man. I just, why waste Nikki Cross like that? Like, why isn't Asuka facing Lacey at this pay-per-view and then building up to some dope match at WrestleMania?
It's trash.
What? Trash!
The Shield reunited and they're gonna face Baron Corbin and Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not watching this. What the fuck? Are they all baby faces now? Did Divas just forget?
So, yeah, Roman came back and then Seth was like, look, I know you're back and you want a chance at Brock, but like, that's fucked up. You're supposed to be my friend. Like, this is what I'm doing right now. And Roman was like, no, no, no. Like, you tended my yard when I was gone. Like, I'm not coming for your thing, but there is a thing that I want. And Seth was like, anything. And then he was like, I want to bring the band back together. And Seth was like, no, but Dean. And then there are multiple moments where like the others, the League of Nations, I don't know what the fuck these peoples are. Like,
League of Nations.
The others were like, beat up, beat up, beat up. Oh no, the Shield comes to save Dean. Beat up, beat up, beat up. Dean comes to save the Shield. Ah, oh, are we gonna put our hands together? Oh, we are. And like, I get it. It's really good to have Roman back. I'm glad he's not taking Seth's spot. Like, Seth deserves that.
Roman also gave an interview recently where he said that the women should main event WrestleMania, which is like, look, legit.
We now love Roman Reigns, so like, great.
All the man had to do was get fucking cancer, and we're like, now you're the best.
To be fair, on this podcast, we have been like,
we've come around a lot.
Yeah, we don't like the way they're necessarily writing his stories, but we don't hate Roman. We think that he is like, doesn't get enough credit. Like, so I feel fine being this. But also, I guess if Dean is really leaving, like, do the Shield one more time. People are thinking maybe like Dean will turn on Roman and then that will be a fight at Mania.
Maybe. But
which would be great.
I mean, yeah. And they're already sort of like seeding that by having Roman say, I don't know if this is kayfabe or not. It feels like it probably is, that Dean didn't even tell Roman that he was leaving and that Roman was really upset that he had to find out online that Dean wasn't resigning with the company. So it's like, they are definitely setting that up. And also like Dean's heel line was garbage.
So yeah.
So
try it again.
I don't know. It does make me curious. Now they're saying that a bunch of people inside the company think Dean is going to resign because Roman is back and he'll be treated better because Roman is back. But at the same time, like, dude's done. Just retire.
Just let him be done.
Just let him be done.
But the biggest problem I have is that, like, what the fuck is Drew McIntyre doing? I'm hoping that after Mania, they can figure out. Because, like, Drew deserves better. Corbin, Lashley, yeah, sure. They're fine where they are. But, like, mm-hmm. Drew deserves better.
Yeah. I mean, they're in a main event feud with The Shield, which is...
not a main event feud.
I mean, it sort of is. They're going to be one of the 8 main events of this 16 fucking match card.
Yeah.
But, like, it is a good showcase in that it's the same way as, like, when The Revival was against Lashley and Roman when they were weirdly tagging together. That, like, it's a good showcase because we get to see these people and they're not, like, Zack Ryder'd. They're not just sitting in the back doing goddamn nothing. Well,
he had a backstage moment.
Oh, great.
With every other tag team.
Oh, okay.
Hashtag The Ascension Forever. They're so funny.
They are really funny.
I don't care about the wrestling. They're very funny.
And their wrestling isn't terrible. No. It's good for, like, low-card comedy. It's perfect.
They're funny. Sasha Banks and Bayley versus Tamina and Nia Jax. Literally, like, you're trying to build a new division. You have to keep it on Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah.
You can't have them switch on their first defense, especially because they're, like, going into NXT and they're doing all these call-out things. And, like, they are people you can build a division around.
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot build a division around Tamina.
I mean, you're not wrong.
So.
You're right. You're totally right.
This has to be Sasha and Bayley. And if it's not, I don't know. I think I might quit. Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch. If Becky Lynch wins, she gets to join the main event with Ronda and Charlotte, making it a three-way. If Charlotte Flair wins, Becky has to stop being a little bitch. I don't know. I don't know if that's the thing. Becky Lynch put Charlotte in a submission where she had to fully bend her hurt, quote-unquote, knee. This, one word, overbooked. This is the most overbooked fucking storyline. What the fuck? Ronda's throwing temper tantrums in the ring, out of the ring. This, like, shoot... work kayfabe thing is fucking dumb. Like, I get it. Sometimes people like when you walk the line, but people like when you walk the line. People don't like when you go, it's fucking fake. I could win in a real fight. Also, remember when you got your face punched a bunch?
Also, remember how you can't win a real fight?
Like, yeah, remember you. How you're like, yeah, you won a bronze medal a million years ago.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, man. And I've also heard some things, too, from people backstage saying that, like, she's at this point where she's like, I don't like wrestling fans. I don't like WWE fans. Like, bitch, that's how you felt about MMA fans, too. And look what happened. You fucking isolated all of those people. It's just like,
oh, yeah, cause she you turned heel and was like, fuck all you guys. Oh, fuck. If this was a real fight. Okay, so remember all those times you fake got put into an armbar and you fake look like a fool? Like, it's not... I don't care. We're 2019. We all know it's quote-unquote fake. Like, work the line. Work the shoot. Like, that's fine.
Right.
Be clever about it. This is boring and stupid, and it literally just makes her look like a whiny little bitch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny, because we were like, all she needs to do is turn heel, and then she turned heel, and it's like, oh, you're actually just really bad at this.
At everything.
At all of this. You're so bad at this. You saw yourself as someone who was really great at this, and you're fucking not.
She's at everything.
She is going to be like... remembered as one of the greatest one-year washouts of all time is what it feels like.
God, I hope so.
Like, it truly feels like that is what... I mean, we've said this before. It felt like Charlotte was being added to this match because they knew there was absolutely no way that Ronda and Becky were going to be able to have a main event match at Mania, and that's what they want to do. And, like, they... I have objections to them adding Charlotte because it feels very much like
But also,
Charlotte
is doing some of the best work in her entire fucking career right now.
Right.
And that says something because Charlotte's had a baller-ass career so far.
Right, exactly.
Her heel promos have been out of the, like, out of the park. Like, she... fucking is so good. Charlotte is so good. And obviously everybody knows that, but, like, Charlotte and Becky really stepping up to the plate to cover this for Ronda.
Absolutely.
And also, like, God, WWE Creative just needs to, like, move their fingers off the keyboard and just, like, relax. Overbooked.
Yes, absolutely. And now you know who's on fucking Creative? Dana Warrior and Jeff Jarrett are the people that they hired to replace Arn Anderson. It's like, okay, because you moved like 30 years younger doesn't mean that it's relevant and good. Like, this is ridiculous. And we have said so many times, put women on creative. We did not mean Dana Warrior. That is not, we wanted, I thought it was like implicit that we wanted women who care about women. And like, that's not what is happening now. It's just,
Becky Lynch wins.
Yeah, Becky Lynch obviously wins. There's no way in shit Becky Lynch doesn't win. Also, she has, like, a proven track record of beating Charlotte. It would be super weird if she didn't win anyway. Like, not that WWE doesn't do all kinds of weird bullshit all the time, but...
She either wins clean or there's some shenanigan bullshit and Ronda's like... Or, and Becky's like, this is bullshit. Put me in this or I'm gonna burn everything to the ground.
Yeah, it's...
Regardless, this is a three-way at Mania.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, final match. Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens at Fastlane. Main event. WWE Championship. Here's my dream booking, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan having a baller-ass match, right? The best. Then Daniel Bryan goes over Kevin Owens because of shenanigans, because Rowan gets involved, whatever. Mm-hmm. Kevin storms to the back and is like, this is bullshit. I want a rematch. Bullshit. And they're like, sorry, when you were gone, we got rid of the, like, rematch clause type bullshit thing. So, like, we can't just give you this match again. I'm so sorry. Like, things have changed, quote unquote. And then Kevin's like, this is garbage. Daniel Bryan is garbage. He's making fun of everybody. I'm like a modern day Dusty Rhodes now. Like, I'm man of the people. I gotta fix this. If they're not gonna give me the match, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna personally champion Kofi Kingston. I'm gonna go to Vince McMahon and be like, look, bitch, this is your bitch. We gotta go. And then it's campaign manager Kevin Owens being like, Kofi Kingston's the motherfucking guy. And then Kofi and Daniel have this amazing match at Mania. Kofi gets the belt and then Kevin Owens punches him right in the face.
Yes! Yes! I mean, I think that's an interesting way to book
hire
it too.
Hire this woman.
Yeah, fucking for real. I think that's an interesting way to book it too, because just because Kevin punches him in the face, that doesn't necessarily mean that he becomes a bad guy. It could turn all of New Day heel. Like,
there's so much.
Ah, there are so many possibilities with that. Oh, that's so smart. That's such good booking. And of course they won't do that.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan's probably just going to win clean.
What's the point of Rowan then?
Or whatever. I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what happens. I just need it to be Daniel and Kofi in the main event. Or New Day turns heel on Kofi's behalf.
Yeah.
Which is also fine.
That would be an interesting line for them to walk, too, because they're not, like, super in the title
picture. Because
then
you can have Kofi King, or you can have Big E versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania, where they're, like, still babyface and a heel, and they're like, ah, oh, whatever. And then you have Kofi and Daniel, and it's like, but we love Kofi, but his friends are heels, but, like, Daniel is telling us we're fat. I don't know.
Well, if they wanted to keep all of them babyface, too, there's the possibility that New Day interferes with the match and protects Kevin from Rowan, and Kevin wins, and then Kofi's like, yo, bro, you told me that this was unfair, and you know that I should have been in this. Now I want you at Mania. I would take Kevin and Kofi at Mania, too.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, that's an interesting dynamic that can start off as babyface versus babyface and also turn either of them heel in either direction between now and Mania.
Yeah, man.
Lots of possibilities.
Lots of possibilities.
Interesting booking, and you know who's not part of it? AJ Styles, which is super nice.
Man, they had another backstage moment where AJ was talking to Kayla and was like, this is bullshit, like Kofi's like earned it, like this is all crap. And Randy Orton came up and was like, you're advocating for somebody else to get a match? Wow. No wonder it took you 15 years to get here. Which is a great line if delivered by anybody other than Randy Orton.
Yeah, fucking Randy Orton.
So we're definitely getting Randy and AJ at Mania.
Whatever. I don't even care. Honestly, like...
Flying forearm into an RKO.
Yeah, like... They're both fine wrestlers when they give a shit. And, like, maybe they'll give a shit with each other because they share similar politics.
Like AJ's
I don't know, a
good wrestler across the board.
Well, yes. I would say that he is good, but he's also at the same place as, like, Shinsuke, where when you give him boring bullshit over and over again, it becomes the same shit over and over again. It's not, like, exciting. And Randy is exactly the same way. And so I feel like putting the two of them together, Randy understands that Mania is, like, a bigger deal than the rest of the year, and so he gives a shit at Mania in a way that he normally doesn't, like the Seth RKO, for example. Like, he knows that Mania is about moments, and I feel like he and AJ have the right chemistry moveset-wise to create something really, really cool that it doesn't matter if the rest of the match sucks. All that it matters is that they hit this, like, really cool sequence of events, and I feel like I'm fine with that. I don't really want to see either of them fight anyone else.
Yeah.
So this seems like a good use of both of them Mania-wise. So I'm glad they're not doing it at Fastlane. I'm glad that they're holding
a
off
part
on
of this
it.
16-person or 16-match card
yeah, exactly.
at WrestleMania.
And that's the same deal, where if they have to have like a 10-minute match, it doesn't matter if they can do something really cool inside of that.
Right.
So it's smart in the end, I think.
Any other thoughts about Fastlane?
No, I don't think so. Women's tag champs isn't on this card, correct?
We literally just talked about it, Aaron. Tamina.
Oh, duh. That's right. I completely forgot that there's only one belt and not two of them. That's how forgettable Tamina is.
Yeah, I get it.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I just was like, oh, that's right. That match doesn't matter. I've erased it in my mind.
I've erased it already.
It's so inconsequential. I don't even give a shit.
We do have one question. Well, two questions from Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who knows what's going to happen with AEW, but I was thinking about commentary. I was wondering if y'all had any ideas of what female voice they could add to whatever their commentary team that they would have that would be exciting for you. This is going to sound crazy because I don't actually love her, but, and I know she's re-signed, but when Madison Rayne does commentary on Impact, she does a pretty good job.
Yeah, she is pretty good at commentary.
And I think that she could be groomed into being like a very good commentator. Mm-hmm. So I think that that would be interesting. But again, she did just show up at Impact again, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what her contract situation is like there. It's possible she has something shorter, yeah, too.
Melissa Santos, also a great option. I know, yeah, she's a good interviewer, but, like, she could be, I think she could transition into that.
Yeah, and I think with training, too. Also, like, have her there as a backstage interviewer, and then you can transition her later. That can also work. Honestly, if I'm going to pick any woman that I could see on commentary at AEW, fucking Veda Scott. She's
hell fucking yeah.
So
she's
good
great
at it.
Commentary.
She's so fucking good at commentary. Yeah. And also because she's a comedy wrestler, she would fit into the wrestling division in a way that, like, he's not a great wrestler, but like that Michael Cole did, where it was like.
Or like Cole Cabana and ROH.
Yes, exactly. 100%. Where it's like, you're really good at this, and so we can fill cards with you because it's funny when people interact with commentators. Like, feuds are good that you can build off of that. Yeah. And if you treat your comedy division seriously, having the commentator be the person who does that adds an additional layer to that. And again, she's fucking great at commentary, and like, that's a really good way to use her inside of that. And like, I love Veda. I want to see her more often. I would love to have her get some kind of like national platform where people can see her in, like, this is, I don't mean this in a shitty way, but in like more than just Shimmer and Rise, where like, I want to see her, I want everyone to be able to see her on like a national television scale. She's earned it and is really fucking good at what she does.
This question, okay, this is a hard question and I've been thinking about it and I don't actually know, so I'm actually gonna put this out to everyone. I actually want, ooh, people to tweet us, and then maybe I'll think about it more. So this is from Joe. If the Sailor Moon special attacks were wrestling finishers, what would you want them to be? Shine Aqua Illusion, Sparkling Wide Pressure, Burning Mandala, Venus Love Me Chain, and Moon Princess Halation. So I was thinking, like, what moves would they be? But, like, as finishers, oh, man. The only one that I can think of is that I think Shine Aqua Illusion is definitely, like, a spinning discus forearm. I feel like that one... I don't know why, but because, like, I have no idea. It's such a hard question. I don't know.
I have no idea what you're
you have
talking
no,
about.
Yeah, I know. It's all Sailor Moon stuff.
That's fine.
I don't know, man. This is a really hard question, and I have to think about it for a long time, and I want to hear people's opinions. Also, I want clarification. Is it a move that already exists as a finisher? Like, am I assigning it, or am I coming up with new ones? I don't know.
I feel
it's
like
too hard.
I feel like you could do both of those. Like,
Joe, what are your thoughts? You tell me. I'm so confused. Burning Mandala.
What would your finisher be? I know we've talked about this before.
I don't remember.
Off the top of your head, what would you use as a finisher right now? Where you are, like, in your life as though that were a wrestling character, what would your finisher be?
What would yours be?
I feel like mine would be some kind of, like, running mid-ring cannonball.
Yeah, yours is definitely, like, a cannonball.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm coming. Hey, look out! That's definitely me.
I feel like Sparkling Wide Pressure is just, like, a really sick spear.
I could see that.
You don't even know what Sparkling Wide Pressure is.
I mean, the name tells me enough that, yeah, that sounds like a thing that would work.
This is so hard, and I also don't know what my finisher would be. My current favorite finisher is a black mass.
I could see you using a black mass.
Yeah, just kick to the face. Mm-hmm. Get out of my space.
Yeah. That's what you would call it, the get out of my space.
So funny.
I actually love that. That would totally be, like, your finisher.
I feel like Venus Love Me Chain is like an eat defeat. I don't know why. This is what I'm thinking.
Is it a tag team or a single one? I don't totally understand.
Singles ones.
I feel like you could do a combination one for Chain Link. The name, again, tells me what I need to know there, I think. Where you do, like, a phenomenal forearm into an eat defeat. So then it's like a chain.
Yeah, that could work. That could work. Moon Princess Halation. I don't know, man.
Hurricanrana something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something spinny.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's spread of light, for sure, for sure. Ooh, actually, Moon Princess Halation, like, Alexa Bliss's, like, flip that she does from the top rope.
Oh, what it used to be called the Sparkle Splash?
Yeah, but totally, Sparkle Splash is definitely Moon Princess Halation. Burning Mandala, man. That one's dope as hell. I love Mars. She's the best. I feel like Burning Mandala has to be, like, some kind of, like, sick, like, intense powerbomb or something.
The name alone makes me think of, like a jumping, spinning double axe handle, like, to the throat.
I feel like it's gotta be a, like, big power move.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, though, is something where it's, like, a corkscrew double axe handle to, like, the head and neck area.
Yeah. I don't know. These are just us spitballing. Mm-hmm. Aaron's never seen Sailor Moon.
Literally never. All I'm going by is their name, which seems to tell me a lot, actually.
But like, throwing, like, ring, cause throwing rings of fire.
Mm, okay. Yeah, that one, I don't know.
I don't know. Burning Mandala's hard.
Yeah, that one is hard.
But yeah, I feel like some kind of corkscrew.
Yeah, it needs, like, a wind-up and then some kind of slam.
I feel like a move that Io Shirai does is probably somewhere in... Because she has, like, her high-flying moves also have, like, an intensity to them. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yep, yep, yep. Cool, cool, cool. Let us know your thoughts. What Sailor Senshi moves would be wrestling moves?
Mm-hmm. We cut through that more than I was expecting.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy Fastlane or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. Hopefully my back feels better. Hopefully you get a job.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You can find us on the internet. I'm at @Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at @EarnGency.
You can use the hashtag NotYourDemoPod to
interact with us.
You can email us at NotYourDemo@gmail.com.
You can rate, review, and subscribe. Since we had a hilariously weird review.
Two stars. iTunes or whatever. That's great. Buy our merch. Support our Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon. We have all kinds of Every Mania Evers. We're going to have to do a new one because we always have to do a new one.
Because that's how it works.
That's how this works. The last one, again, as a reminder, is the best one.
Yeah, we got to be drunk when we do them from now on.
Yeah, we do.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, we don't have a sign off.
No, we don't. We still don't have a fucking sign off.
Remod.
God damn it.
I think that's the new one. I think it's me just going Bree mode and you going, God damn it.
Bree mode.
Actual sound test. Hi, I'm Alexis.
Kayfabe. This is me. This is my podcast voice. This is me. This is real.